The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were shut. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children up. Come on, Calvin. Good morning. No one? Good morning. Has anybody ever been scared? Yeah, what made you scared? You don't remember, but you remember that you were scared. You were going to say something. Do you remember something that made you scared? Sky, do you got anything? Spiders scare you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sometimes you're scared of spiders. Yeah? They'll scare you too? Yeah.
Actually,
crocodiles scare you too. Well, Jesus' disciples, even after what they saw and heard from last week, what we learned about last week, are scared. And they're hiding. They're hiding inside their house with all the doors locked around them.
Even windows.
Yeah, the windows are locked too. Everything is all locked up. But Jesus comes and he stands with them. And the first thing he says to them is, "Peace be with you." Why do you think he says that to them? Because he doesn't want them to be scared. And he wants them to feel peace. Because he is with them. And so whenever you're scared, whenever you think about something that might be scary or you might have some fear, hear those words from Jesus and think about them being spoken to you. Hear Jesus say to you, "Peace be with you." and trust that Jesus is with you and that Jesus is giving you that peace so that you don't need to be that scared. Amen. Go in peace. Looks like I have to contend with construction. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Peace be with you. Oh, you guys are so Lutheran. Can you imagine what it would be like celebrating the end of Passover? You're sitting in your synagogue and all of a sudden you hear gunshots. I mean, that's what our brothers and sisters who are Jewish in San Diego just faced. The end of one of their most holiest of holidays, worshiping together, and somebody went in and killed at least one person and several more wounded here in our country. And all I want to say to these brothers and sisters is peace be with you. I imagine that Jesus wants to step into the midst of their life and say to them, peace be with you. The disciples, even after Peter and John and Mary Magdalene have come back and have told them that what they have seen are hiding in fear of the Jewish authorities. Let me make this clear. This isn't all of the Jewish people who want them dead. This is the Jewish authorities, those people in the church, Pastor Mike type folks. And they fear for their life. And so the doors and the windows and everything are locked in this house because they know their Lord is risen. They've heard it from three witnesses. But there's still this fear. But Jesus steps into their midst and says, peace be with you. And there must still be this fear even after this first encounter with Christ. Because they're still locked up in the house, this time Thomas with them. And again, Jesus says to them, peace be with you. But let's go back to the first interaction with Christ. The first thing that Jesus does is gives them this word of peace. He steps into their fear and their anxiety of what is going on around them and says, peace be with you. Then he breathes on them and gives them the Holy Spirit. Remember, John, in earlier chapters, Jesus talks to them about another one will come who will follow me. And so Jesus is again living up to his word. That other one is here and has been breathed into their life. And then he gives them the power to forgive sins and retain sins. In the church, we use the term the office of the keys. Because you can unlock and lock those sins to someone. You can grant freedom and forgiveness. Jesus does that with them, and it's interesting, this Trinity effect that he does with them, this peace, this Holy Spirit, this office of the keys into their lives. But he doesn't just do this with them. This is something that continues throughout the life of the church. It's a gift that he first gives the disciples there, but that he gives to each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. And so let's go through this. Have you heard this piece in your life? Have you heard it over and over and over again? I know I have. Because life isn't just one event, but it's a number of events that happens over and over and over again as we live our life. And every single one of those events that might make me a little anxious, that I might have a little fear, I might have concern of what is to come, there's that word of peace. That I quiet myself and I allow myself to hear Christ speaking, never stopping. Christ's word is never stopping. Our own lives quiet that to us. But Christ is always speaking that word of peace into your life. Have you heard it? If not, what are some things that you think you can do to slow down, to quiet the noise around you a little bit, to hear that word of peace spoken to each and every one of you? Do you feel the Holy Spirit active in your life? Christ breathes this out to the disciples as they are there, but he is breathing this Holy Spirit out into the world. And even today, that breathing is happening out to each and every one of us. Have you felt the Spirit active in you? Has the Holy Spirit shown you what your calling is? Has the Holy Spirit helped you hear Christ's continued word of peace to you? Has the Holy Spirit inspired you to go out and share the word of Christ with those that you know and those others who may not have heard this word of peace yet in their life? I promise you that this Holy Spirit is breathed out into your life and that you are called to be active in it. And the last is this power that God gives to the church. This ability to forgive and retain sins sometimes can be hard and tricky to understand. It's easy to sort of understand what it means to forgive someone, that Christ has spoken a word of forgiveness into their lives, and that through the disciples, through us, we can grant this forgiveness. That as the church, we are given this ability to say to someone, Christ loves you. Christ died on the cross for you. He is risen and alive, and your sins are forgiven. The harder part is the retaining, right? I mean, it's actually, I think, a more complicated thing to say to someone, your sins aren't really forgiven. And we have to wonder, where are times and places where that might happen? And I can tell you one that I experienced. I was doing my clinical pastoral education portion of seminary, And I was doing it at a hospital in Minnesota. And I was working with adolescents on their adolescent mental health ward. And I was sitting with a Lutheran kid, and he said, can we do confession? And I said, sure, we can do confession together. And he began to speak to me all of these things that he was doing and going through in his life. And because I hadn't, you know, learned all the ways that confession sort of pans out at this point in my very young pastoral life, I said to him, I don't think you mean some of these things that you've said. And he seemed shocked that I would say this to him. And I said, are you really going to stop drinking? I mean, you want me to grant you forgiveness because you drink too much. And I want to do that, but you shouldn't be drinking at all. And do you really want to stop? And he looked me dead in the eyes and said, no. And I said, well, if you're going to drink again, then why am I going to grant you forgiveness? Because you're not going to try to stop. And that really becomes part of this hard, hard place when we think about this forgiveness and retention that we get pulled into. I do want to add that the upside of this story is about 3 weeks later, this young man came to me and said, can we do confession again? And I said, sure, I would love to. And I sat down with him again, and we went through the confession rite. And he said the same things again, those things that I had granted forgiveness before, and also the drinking. And I said the same thing to him again. Do you really want to stop? Are you going to stop? And he said to me, yes, I want to stop. And I said, your sins are forgiven. That this is what we get pulled into, is that this deep relationship that Christ is pulling us into, this relationship that Christ first has with us, is the relationship that we are being pulled into with one another. That in this loving way, we call each other to task. In this loving way, we call each other to care for one another. That this forgiveness isn't a flippant thing, but that it is God stepping in and setting us free. And so are you prepared to go out and share Christ's peace with others? Are you prepared to go out and share the Holy Spirit active in people's lives? And are you prepared to go out and be with our fellow brothers and sisters who need to hear a word of forgiveness? But that sometimes in the tension and stress of life aren't prepared to hear that word. But that we still stay with them. We still struggle with them until they're prepared to hear that word of forgiveness into their life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what we are being called into. This same activity that happened to the disciples on that day in this house, to grant peace, to give the Holy Spirit, and to give forgiveness, and to be with those who we are called to be with. So in this life that we live, we will face fears. We will face insurmountable numbers of fears in our life. Trust that that word of peace comes to you, that the Holy Spirit is breathed into your life. And then when you cry out, when you say, "Lord, forgive me and set me free," that forgiveness is given because it's the work we're called into as well. Amen.